You're listening to the HDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello, and welcome to this Cereals and Oilseeds episode of the HDB podcast. I'm Eleanor Holdsworth, and this episode I'm handing over the reins to Northern Ireland's Monitor Farm host, Richard Orr. Richard will be interviewing David Walston, who farms in Cambridgeshire. David's one of HDB Cereals and Oilseeds' newest board members. So David and Richard will be talking about what the HDB board does, grain marketing, communications, and much more. But first, they'll start off with a bit about their farms and the year they've both just had.
So if, David, you want to tell me a wee bit about your farm and yourself, and maybe what the biggest challenges you see at the moment on farm?
Yeah, so I'm a second, third or fourth generation farmer, depending on, you know, what you define as a farmer over just a landowner or whatever. Farms just out of Cambridge, about just under 900 hectares, totally arable, grow wheat, rape, barley, oats, peas, beans, that sort of thing, combinable crops, don't grow any sugar beet anymore. And yeah, we're sort of in a full conservation agriculture system. I've been for, I don't know, probably about 5 years now, I suppose, something like that. Yeah, we started mucking around with that ages ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and moved the whole farm over about 5 years ago. I did enough little scholarship on soils and soil health and organic matter and that sort of stuff back about roughly 5 years ago. And so that's sort of what the farm's like. I did have cattle for a bit. We used to have sheep come and graze the cover crops, which we can't do anymore because the environmental scheme doesn't allow it. So yeah, there's no livestock currently. I haven't had any for a few years. And I mean, in terms of biggest challenges, I mean, the biggest challenge we seem to every year at the moment is the fact it doesn't rain in the spring. The too much rain in the autumn isn't as bad for us because it's generally quite light soil. You know, like we have some heavier bits, but nothing, even our really heavy stuff isn't super bad. So yeah, the autumns, wet autumns haven't caused us so much problem, but when it doesn't rain for the month of May or, you know, 6 weeks or even 3 weeks in the spring, you know, it causes a problem. So that's the biggest challenge that we have. The driver behind trying to improve our soils is to get more resilience to drought stress, basically try and get the soils holding more water. That's the main thing we're trying to do, which is a slow process. That's where we are, really.
Well, do you think with your conservation approach, your cover crops, etc., are helping towards that? Can you see any benefits so far?
No, I mean, if I said, oh, the farm's transformed and everything's amazing and it's, so, you know, it's like we're farming compost now and whatever. No, you know, that it doesn't happen like that. You know, if you get the soil scientists out and they do tests or like the HDB soil score, you know, we get great scores in that. If you smell the soil, it smells great, and you might smell the neighbour's one that's been cultivated, doesn't smell as much. But then, you know, we don't sell the smell of the soil, unfortunately. And so all these things, and get, you know, the fact we get a one on our soil condition results and our neighbour might get a two or a three, again, doesn't actually make any, necessarily make a financial difference. So the soils look better. I wouldn't say, you know, actually our yields have gone down in the years since we adopted this approach. The yields have gone down, but, you know, we've had dry springs every year since then. So, you know, how do you pick it out? It's very difficult to know. And we spent 3 or 4 or 5 years before we changed over doing half fields or whole field and comparing things. We never saw a drop from going no-till and doing that sort of stuff. Yeah, we're not losing anything, but I definitely couldn't say with a straight face that the farm has transformed in 5 years and it's all brilliant and rainbows and unicorns. Everything's got its own challenges, haven't it, whatever system you use.
I'd have to concur with the dry springs. Even back with us here in rainy Northern Ireland, our biggest issue is generally in the month of April when you need rainfall for crop growth, it's dry. And there's little ways around that one.
Well, you only get 500 mil in April or something, probably, don't you?
Well, this year we had 13 mil in April and something like 15 in May.
Oh, well, God, that's like a monsoon. I can't remember what we had in April, but May was like 1.5 mil or 2 mil or something like that. I mean, it was just, we basically had 6 weeks with nothing, yeah, which is a problem. But yeah, you know, you really want 50 mil or something, don't you, to be doing it. So if you get 13 in one go, it's okay, isn't it? If you get 13 spread in 5 bits of 2 mil, it doesn't do anything at all.
Yeah, a wee bit every week is no use. You have to get something substantial. So I suppose on to why did you want to be an AHDB board member?
I suppose it kind of started about 5 years ago, I ran through a random set of events, found myself on the recommended list committee for herbage seed for grass and clover and stuff like that. Sort of tangentially, because at the time I did have livestock, and so I was doing that. And so I did that, and I was found that was quite interesting. You know, I thought, well, it's interesting doing it, but it's a bit silly me putting my time into something I don't really use that much. And so then some positions came available on the wheat and the rape and the barley and other cereals recommended list boards. And so I applied for those and got a position on the barley and other cereals committee. And then, you know, I guess that and knowing someone else on the AHDB cereals board, it just wanted to be a bit more involved. You know, I always thought AHDB did a good job when you know what they're doing. You know, a lot of people don't know that what they do, or they don't appreciate the things they use are done by AHDB. But, you know, I thought that was good, and I just wanted to be involved in that and give some time to it, try and put my stamp on it in a small way.
Well, that sort of leads me on to the next question. In your own words, can you describe what the board does do?
Basically, the main thing the board does is it supervises the budget for the cereal and oilseeds sector. What you allocate your budget to depends on what your priorities are and what you want to get done. So, you know, we look at the five-year strategy on that and setting the budget for that, and then monitor, you know, how that's going. You know, is it delivering what we want to do? Does it need to be changed? And then going out to events, you know, these bits haven't happened because of COVID, but normally, you know, we'd be going out to events wearing an AHDB hat, so to speak, communicating to people, you know, what it is that we're doing and what AHDB is doing for farmers, getting that message out there and helping out with the staff in terms of knowledge exchange or just raising awareness of AHDB's activities.
Well, would you say, have you any specific roles on the board, or is it sort of all of the above?
I mean, everyone, all the farmer members have something that they look at specifically. And the one I'm doing is looking at the market intelligence side and the marketing, which, again, you know, I've been assigned to do this, but as of yet, I haven't been able to get my teeth into it, because normally, you know, I'd have gone up to Stoneleigh, met with David Udall and those guys and spent a morning or a day looking at what they're doing and getting into it, which I haven't been able to do. You know, I spoke to David on the phone and done it, but that is the main thing, is the market side, which I've got sort of mixed feelings about it, really, because on the one side, you know, marketing is such a vital part of what we do. It's better to be good at selling your grain and bad at farming rather than the other way around. You can make or lose a fortune for when you sell the grain. And so we can gain some sort of edge on that using the AHDB information. Then, you know, that can be a great return on investment, you know, for our levy payers as a farmer. On the other hand, you know, I'm slightly sceptical of using this information. You know, we get the emails or whatever from AHDB with the market intelligence. But I sort of, you know, and I spoke with David Udall, who's the head of that department at AHDB, about it in quite some depth earlier this week, I think, or last week. Can we really use information that the market doesn't already have and doesn't know, you know, and isn't already priced into the price of the commodities? I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. But then, you know, I sort of think that. But then, you know, I spent most of last week glued to CNN looking at what's happening in America and actually keeping small tabs on the betting market over there as well, and seeing the difference between what people who are betting think of what's going to happen versus the reality. Actually, sometimes there's a massive spike, you know, one way or the other. And we've all got the same information if you know where to look for it. So that sort of made me think the other way. Well, maybe there is an opportunity for us to use this stuff from the AHDB gives us, and looking at the trends and what might be coming up in the future to give us a better idea of when to sell.
So do you think there's a major benefit then from the like of yourself as a farmer being on the board as a levy payer to sort of, I suppose, hold the AHDB to account in some way?
At the end of the day, AHDB is run for farmers, really, isn't it? That's the main people we pay most of the levy. That's who it's got to benefit. And so you always want some representation from the main stakeholders, the farmers on the board, to give a direction. You know, I think we've got a better idea of what the priority should be. You know, we know what our ones, obviously I know what my priorities are. Hopefully my priorities align somewhat with the industry as a whole's priorities as well. And so, yeah, you know, you need that rather than someone who is unconnected with it, which, you know, the guys in the HDB are great. So it's not like they need to be kind of reined back and, well, they're going to go and do crazy stuff because they're all good guys. But you need a balance of opinions, don't you? And some real world experience, because they might come up with some idea and go, well, this sounds great. And you as a farmer look at it and go, well, that's actually not going to work on the farm, or we don't need that. What we need is this, or whatever. So I think it's definitely important to have farmers on the board. Yeah.
Well, to sort of touch on your market intelligence side, an issue we've been having in Northern Ireland is getting the grain mills to cooperate with the HDB to allow them to then publish an accurate market report. And actually, just this Monday, we ended up with a blank market report. How do you feel the HDB or us as farmers could encourage the mills to give us an honest representation of what the prices are?
Obviously, you know, the mills' interests don't always align with the farmers, do they? Because they want to buy it as cheap as possible. We want to sell it as expensive as possible. There's a lot of work gone into the what was called the e-passport, you know, the electronic crop passport, which, if they can get that to work, sort of cuts out the middleman of trying to gather this information, doesn't it? Because everything flows back through that scheme. And so this is all going on before my time. So I'm not sure exactly why it didn't work before, but I know people are hopeful it's going to happen fairly soon. So yeah, I mean, you know, fingers crossed when that does happen, then we have all that information right there at our fingertips, without having to go pester the mills for it.
I suppose then, over the next 5 years or so, what do you think the HDB need to really focus on?
One of the things that, you know, I found good when I went and travelled around was going to Brazil and seeing what Embrapa does. Embrapa is the, like, farming research and extension company or organisation in Brazil. They've got a whole load of different research farms around the country, much more involved than monitor farms. So I think they own and they run these farms, and there'd be a specific one in all the different climates or zones that they have, which obviously, you know, we've got, you're in Northern Ireland, it's going to be quite different to me in Cambridge, but it's nothing compared to the difference between, you know, Amazonian Brazil and coastal Brazil versus whatever, you know, they're totally different. So they've got all these stations around. They actually run their own experiments on a field scale, and then they've got great extension of that out into farmers. So they've got a really good system of putting research and best practice and getting out actually onto farm being used. And I think that's really the direction that I think AHDB should go. Now, it's not going to be in Embrapa, because their budget is, I did look it up a while ago, it was something like $900 million a year. I mean, it was massive, or maybe it was $900 million over a few years. So it dwarfs AHDB. So we're not going to be able to do anything like that. But I guess, you know, the strategic farms are a precursor to that, or that on a minor scale. And so I think what we really need, you know, there's, what do we call it, the knowledge gap between high-level research and getting change of practice onto farm. There's this massive gap. And I think that's where HDB needs to come in, help establishing what best practice is. And then by showing farmers it actually happening on a monitor farm, on a strategic farm, and, you know, people can come along, farmers can come along and actually see it going on in some farm that's similar to their own, and then have confidence, actually, you know, this might work. Because if you tell them, this is it, here are my accounts, this was a great decision, it's a lot more powerful than them reading it in some HDB publication or leaflet or whatever. So that's the direction I think we need to go in, is research and extension.
I totally agree. I think the strategic farm is a great stepping stone to that, bringing the research on the farm scale and putting, as you say, in front of the farmer's nose, where he can understand it in person. They don't always take it in just the same from a book or a manual or an expert telling them. They like to see it hands-on, which is great to see the strategic farmers getting their chance. If you were to take one area of the HDB's work and really drill in and have a big interest in it, what would that be?
I mean, it would probably be that side of things. I think still, you know, the research and extension. I do just see that as making the biggest day-to-day difference to farms, especially if we're going to be nudged towards different farming methods, more environmentally friendly farming methods, which can be a big change from conventional systems. That's where it'd be better not just to be relying on people's agronomists, which is probably what would happen. If people are having to change a lot, they're going to need some help, and we need some help finding out what works where, why it works, and how we can make it better. And so, you know, that's going to be the big change for us, I think, over the next 5 or 10 years. And that's the area I am interested in.
Over the last year or so, the AHDB's had a lot of sort of mixed press from levy payers. And I think you touched on it at the start. How do you feel the likes of the AHDB and ourselves as monitor farmers and stuff can encourage those people that don't quite understand the benefit that their levy is providing and the research is happening? And how do we get that message out to the normal levy payer who hasn't been to a meeting or doesn't get involved to understand just how much is available from the AHDB?
That's a very good question and a tricky one. I think there's some things like that people use that they don't realise it from the AHDB, you know, like in the Back of the Farmers Weekly where all the prices are for, you know, beef and lamb and wheat and whatever. You know, I don't think people realise that that information comes from AHDB. You know, the recommended list, I think every farmer uses a recommended list, really, don't they? Or every arable farmer. And I think that is being branded more as AHDB stuff now. I mean, I never really realised before where it came from. So things like that, I mean, it is difficult. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I have been told them about the number of farmers who are, you know, actively engaged with AHDB. And yeah, you know, it's quite low, isn't it? But proportion of numbers of farmers is quite low, but proportion of number of hectares grown is much higher. And so, you know, who do you want to focus on? I suppose, you know, it's probably, if you're looking at making it good in the industry, it's more important that you have more hectares being influenced rather than more people. But yeah, if you, you know, if unfortunately, as you probably know, farming is quite a conservative industry, isn't it? And there's can be a lot of people out there who AHDB might be doing brilliant work and showing, you know, well, this is the best way to go no-till or whatever, or the best way to farm your sheep or cows or whatever it is. And there's some people who aren't going to want to know, and they're just going to want to keep on doing it the way they've always done it. And, you know, how are you going to get to those people? You're probably not, you know, I think that's probably a bit of a lost cause.
One final question, I suppose, with the difficulties we're facing at the moment, and as you say, not being fit to get out in person to meet the farmers at shows, etc., as we used to do, and social media, etc., being online meetings, etc., being more important at the moment, how do you feel the AHDB could improve their connection to provide people with the information that this is here, come and grab it or come and see? We have the issue ourselves sometimes with a monitor farm that people will say to you afterwards, I didn't know it was on. And GDPR obviously is a big issue these days in how you do a thing right. But do you feel there's any way the AHDB could improve how they get the word out there to the local farmer that the event or the information is there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you obviously got whatever email list you've got and mailing lists. I mean, I wonder if there's a way of incentivizing people, you know, to tell other farmers about it and bring other farmers along. I don't know. I mean, that a lot of farming works word of mouth. So I wonder how you could incentivize people to bring along someone else. What could you? I don't think AHDB is going to be willing to write checks to people and say, bring another farmer and I give you £5 or whatever. But I suspect that that would be the best way of doing it. I don't know. I have to give that one some thought. I haven't really considered that question specifically. I don't know. What do you think?
It's a difficult one. We have sort of had the issues where quite often what happens with our farmers is they tend to somehow unsubscribe themselves from lists, and very quickly they become unavailable to contact. I would prefer in our own area if we had the telephone number of every farmer, that we could send them a reminder WhatsApp or message, because that's the one thing that you have with you all the time. Still, we're in a generation of older farmers who don't always look at emails. They might look at them once a week. And it's just getting that sort of in their face reminder that this meeting's on or this event's taking place. But it is a difficult one, and rules and regulations do make that a lot more difficult now. I think that's all the questions I've got for now.
That's it for this episode. If you want to find out more about the HDB board, go to hdb.org.uk/serials-board. Thanks for listening.